you know, and not even realizing, and not even thinking about how it was affecting her. And as an adult, I began to reflect on how my decisions not just affect me, how it affects other people. What about you? How does this here reflect to you?
Growing up, you know, as you said, in that household, we had jobs, you know, we all had things to do. And for a long time, I was like, you know, I do all this work and this person that's doing it. Why do I have to take this on? And as I moved out, I realized why these things were instilled, because my past partner was a very messy person. So I was calling my mom left and right. I understand now how you feel. I understand, because I sounded just like my dad was like, okay, mom. And it really just was like, okay. Now I understand. I really, you know, all the hard work she really put in, a lot of things, how much I really, you know, just gave her a hard time and not just doing the work and, you know, just helping out what I needed to. I learned the hard way that, you know, small things go a long way.
Yes, yes. And, you know, unfortunately, we're living in a time right now where it's a me. What I feel, what I think. And there's no consideration about how your decisions are affecting the next person. You know, and I was sharing with someone today, and we've been talking about this for a while now, how it's easy to cut someone off who you don't have a relationship with. The hard part is most of it starts, it happens in a home. It happens with the people who are most close to you who do you the worst. You know, and it's not intentional. It's spirits. It's spirits. And I love my mom. I never wanted to do anything to hurt her, but I wasn't looking at how my decisions were affecting her. You know, I allowed the outside influence, what I thought, what I felt, to control my decisions and not looking at how it was affecting her and the rest of my family. You know, and the same thing as you're saying yourself. And you don't realize those things until you're on your own or you have to go through a crisis or a situation and you have an opportunity to really reflect. And that's why it says here with number one, family impact. A wise child brings joy, but a foolish one brings grief. You know, and unfortunately, I was one of those kids that brought grief to my mom and not even really realizing it. And I can relate to so many people. So much. We got a question. No. Well, it's for the audience, the people.
So, as we were reading, it says a wise son makes a glad father.
Yes.
So why is it that when he's good, the father gets pregnant, but when he's not, the mother gets pregnant?
You know, and as you know, as she was reading that, I was thinking about that. You know, but you think about mom. Mom wears the weight of the family. Mom, she's the legacy bearer, but she also is the moral compass.
Yeah.
She's the moral compass. See, however, his sensitivity level is different from the mom. His tolerance level is a little different than the mom. Where something that a dad something that might not affect the dad would affect the mom. And one way I realized this is being married. And I watched the pain my wife felt when dealing with our son. You know, and not that he was doing anything bad, but there was a worry that was on her that I didn't have because of my experience. But for her, I seen the pain and the uncertainty that she had. So it grieved her more than it grieved me. Yes. Yes, that's a big part. Your sensitivity level is more higher. And also, I would say this too, as far as your intuition. You know, you can foresee a little bit more than we can. You know, and that's why I say I didn't understand the pain that my mom had. I didn't understand the pain that my mom had until I watched my wife grieve when I dealing with our son. And I know my son is nowhere near the way me and my brothers were when we were growing up. So I just, and it was three of us. It's only one of him. So I could imagine the weight that she had, you know. I hope I was able to answer your question. Definitely. And that's what happens with that, because we both internalize or express how we feel differently, you know. And it talks about here in the second one, number two, it talks about material and spiritual wealth. In verse two, it says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. You know, and as I was reading that, we live in a society that has us chasing after the things of this world. You know, we're in that pursuit of things, but it's at the loss of some righteousness and truth. You know, we're willing to accept some falsehoods because it lines up with what we want compared to the righteousness of the truth and having to sacrifice that thing. You know, and we're living in a society right now where people wanted a king and we got a king. So you want to believe yourself as to be a king. You know, and now we're dealing with the repercussions of that because we thought he was going to bring treasures. He was going to bring wealth back to society, to the world, and God is reminding us it's in him. Even Solomon, and that's what Solomon is reminding us, he was the richest man during that known time. And that still didn't bring him happiness. But the righteousness of God, not himself, but of God, brought him blessings. Yeah, we got a question.
I realize that in your excelling and leveling up in God, you're testing. And in my testing, I can say I was tested in my house, what I wanted to be, and gave the house up. getting the house up, man. I had nothing to hold on to. I had to trust in God for everything. And going from paying such a low mortgage and a low rate to going out to the world with my child, we're blindfolded. But when I promised God I would give him my 100%, those things mean nothing to me. Because he is the richest in the world that we do out of all of these. But like you said, it's so many people that get caught up in the material portion of it, and they can't let go of the materials. But when we get tested in God, and he shows us, he wants to see whether the material or he needs. But when we understand the blessings from God, we learn that he is everything.
Who you gonna trust?
Right. He's the core, the height, the bills being paid, and everything. And that little minor thing, being tested and giving up the blessings that I got following that, I was allowed to show, because the world wants to be out. Are you crazy? And he can't listen to those things of the world. He doesn't know God would be here. So truly, I understand that giving that up was a test, because afterwards, what happened showed me how bad.
Amen. Amen. No test, no testimony. Yeah, we got another question here.
Right.
We're sitting here chasing cars, chasing money, chasing things, claiming gods that are not Jesus Christ. And look at where it's going to. Everybody who is not in God, who is not saying Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, why? It's not as happy. And even with the, what you were saying with, oh, God provides the car, how God is a provider. Yeah. You put your trust in God, he will provide. You might have $1 million in this house. Your house is paid, your car paid, your car is paid, everything is paid. I keep saying that.
No, no, because that's perfect. Because, see, if you look at number three, it says God's protection. See, the Lord does not let the righteous go home. See, and see, what happens is we place, see, the world has us believing if we have things, we're going to be okay. You know, but what happens when those things you don't have no more? Where did your help come from? You know, and that's where we get so caught up in the things of the world. You know, when I left my job to go into ministry, and some people heard my testimony with that, I left a $70,000 a year job. God told me to leave that and go into ministry. And I just purchased a house. I had my niece and nephew living with me. I'm like, Lord, how's that gonna work? And all I heard was, who are you gonna trust? You know, and I'll tell you, that was in 2016. I haven't looked back, you know, and it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. And it was tests and trials along the way. There was some times I went back in the past, I'm like, that's great, I don't think it's gonna work. He was like, Rob, don't come back to me with this no more. If God told you to do it, you go ahead. And even my wife, I thank God for her, because she kept reminding me. She was like, listen, sweetheart, I'm not complaining. So whatever you're hearing in your own ear, it ain't coming from me. She said, if God told you to do it and you abandoned it, that's on you. You know, and I thank God for that, because it encouraged me to keep pressing. And that's why it's important for the people, and we dealt with this early on in Proverbs, about the people who you have around you. Because, see, people can speak some things, and you said that. Why are you giving up that house, girl? What you mean? You know, but they don't know all the heartache that's coming with that house, the pain and the misery that's coming with it, you know, and being able to let that go and allow God to move in your life. That's what, see, people don't really understand true peace. We all want it, but don't know how to get it. We get it based off what the world We got two comments, and then we're going to go into the next verse. Go ahead.
I wanted to talk about, when I look at this particular first few verses of Proverbs, this reminds me of the parable of the prodigal son. He asked for all half of what he owed, went out into the world, lost everything. God told him to go home. He went home, and did you see the love of a father forgiving his son for his mistakes? And that's why I talk about the story, because the Proverbs here led me to thinking about that particular, if it makes sense.
Yes, definitely.
Everything with God as well, not knowing that we don't take anything with us. We don't even take our bodies with us. We have a glorified body up in heaven. So anything that's of this world, materialistic, we're not taking it. God will not allow that to be held in heaven.
And it's so true. And here in verse 4, you got another comment. No, it's okay. No, listen. This is what we love. We appreciate this.
So as we were reading verses 2 and 3, the cross starts with speaking first the kingdom of God is in our mind. When she started talking about the house and the cars and the priest came up and John says, "You know, the word says if we seek God first, all these other things are going to be added to it." So many people in the world now are worshiping the creation instead of the creator.
Yes. And you know, I was just talking to someone else about how we have to be, and it's going to be important in this day and age, because we're going to have to be this representation of who God is in the world. Because with all the things going on around us, we're going to have to really be strong in who God is in our lives. Because people are going to be seeking that peace, and the only way they're going to get it, they got to see it in us. They got to see it in us. Because if we say we love God and we're following God, and they see us being tossed and turned with everything that's going on in the world, how are they going to trust in that? How are they going to believe in that? So we have to be the example. It's going to be very important. Yes. And it's important because, see, we live in a society right now in the world that's telling us to chase after the riches. That we have this, we have that, we're gonna be fulfilled. It's a whole lot of rich people miserable. We read about them killing themselves every single day. There's no peace in all that money. Own your own back, because our back is sometimes unknown to our own mind.
Right.
have to realize that the back is the key to God is talking about unloading. And then once you begin to unload your baggage, then learn the camel up. Get on his knees and crawl through. Then you have to humble yourself and grow through the eyes of the ear. And then once you end, then God can load you up on his back, on his goods.
Yeah.
So the whole problem was designed that you can work on your innermost baggage.
Yeah.
You know? And then you see riches. See, the world wants the riches of stuff.
Hmm.
The riches that God is talking about is not stuff. He's talking about peace of mind, vision, and destiny.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because all of us have a destiny. And until we unload our baggage, sometimes the destiny is not even revealed. And it takes time. And you gotta be consistent at, you can't keep hitting and missing. I keep saying this all the time in that Bible study. When you hit and miss, the enemy takes what you got before, and then he sifts you of what you got before, because you can come back and re-up. Every time.
You know, and that's so powerful. Like you said, he sifts us like wheat. You know, because he want to see what's going to rise to the top. He want to see if you who you say you are.
Right.
You know, and that's where those testings come in at. You know, and I say this a lot. I say, when those trials come, instead of making them stepping stones, I make roadblocks, I make them stepping stones. So I can get closer to God and to another level. You know, because that's what God wants us, he wants it to be. The enemy wants us to be stumbling blocks. He wants us to trip over so we can't grow. But God wants us to build us up.
You just said, like, God wants to see if you say who you say you are. The very thing is, he already knows who you are. He just wants you to realize who you are.
See, the thing is, we only know in part. We only know a part. We don't know the full potential that we can be.
Yeah.
If God revealed to us what we had to go through to be, some of us would give up.
Yeah.
We would, even though some of us forfeit in it, just if he told us what we had to go through to be who we was going to be, we would forfeit.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just have a question, because there's been a lot of emphasis on not being material things, but the personally, I'm trusting God for a place to live right now. And we're not supposed to be focused on these material things, right? We're supposed to be trusting God, right? But how do you keep yourself in perfect peace without while you're lacking the things you need? You know what I mean?
Alright. We got somebody in the audience who wants to share an answer for that question, and then we'll get back to it again.
The Bible says in Matthew 6 that if you seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and everything else will be added. You said, how do we trust in God and not focus on the material things? Is seeking first the kingdom, meaning going into your prayer room every day, making it consistent, and everything else will be added. It's not that we're not worried about the things that God is going to give us. It's not that God isn't going to give it to us, or it's not that God is condemning us because we're seeking those things. But he's saying, if you seek me first, I'll give you whatever you ask me for. Right? And that's the thing that that's where I see this. It's not about the materialistic things, in my perspective. Yes, we all need things. We all need things. We're not just going to live a life with no kind of needs. But what God puts emphasis on is seek me first, because the thing is, we want to do things backwards. We want to look for the things without seeking God, and that God is not there. But when we seek him and we decide to live a life that is according to what he wants to do, he will give us whatever we're asking for.
Oh.
We got a couple more comments, and I just want to piggyback on that. And what happens is, because we don't see what we're seeking in the time frame that we think it should be happening, we become weary and we start questioning God. You know, and one thing I've learned, and even during my time when I went away, was because I was seeking God for some things, and I thought I was ready for it. And what I realized is God don't give us something that we're not ready for. You know, and so what I've learned to do is say, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? What do you want me to get from this? Because there's a reason why what I've been seeking hasn't materialized yet. There's still some more work that needs to be done, maybe on my behalf, or maybe it's just not the right time yet. And sometimes that's hard to understand, and that's what Pastor Bruce talked about as far as us really digging deep into ourselves. Because one thing about God, He don't give nobody or nothing power over us. That we chase after that person. Okay?
Your question was, when you're fixing your situation, how do you stay focused without seeming like yourself? You are asking, how can I stay focused and focus on God when I'm living in a reality that I don't have a place to live right now?
The basis was talking about we're not supposed to focus on material things.
Right.
And what are we supposed to do?
Right. So the Bible says that in Philippians 4:8, it says, think on the things that are true, whatsoever is honest, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, and whatsoever is good report. Those are that's the way that you can stay focused while you're doing this thing. So what promises has God made to you, and how has He kept you? So just waking up this morning was a beautiful gift from God. Just being able to sit and have your faculties in your right mind is a pure gift and honest promise from God.
And this is a part too. The Word tells us, be careful of false prophets. You know, we have to be mindful of people speaking into our lives. One thing I always say, if God ain't say it to you first, He definitely ain't gonna tell it to somebody else before He tell it to you. So don't listen to everything you hear, because what you hear sometimes is only what is true is confirms what God has already spoken to you. So if God has spoken to you, you go get that house, and then somebody confirm it, then you know it's God. But if he ain't speak that to you, don't trust in what somebody else says. And that's where that misleading comes, and that's why it's important for us, the children of God, to know the Word for ourselves and not base it off of what someone else says to us. Are we good?
I got
it also. Philippians 4:19 tells us that God is all the I've recently seen an issue that is trying to live by March 31st. My whole mindset, my whole thought was that if He's going to supply all of my needs, that's a need. I need a place to stay. A rest place for you and the child, and I can rest in the place where we need. That's a need. So that's a given that He's going to supply. Whether it be at 11:59, I was supposed to go to my grandma's house on March 31st. March 31st, my aunt came and told me, my cousin's moving out, you stay, she's leaving. But I never worry, because the worry, it ain't going to change. Give faith and have that crazy faith that was going to move down, go up to what it looked like, sounded like, or seemed like. You just believe that no matter what, He's going to supply that need.
Going to get there in the time that you need him, no matter what. Right. Although, I understand. Yeah. Because sometimes your focus is on one thing and your worry is on something else. And this is how people tend to lose focus on what they need. Because if it, like, okay. We're in the book of Proverbs. The principle of Proverbs starts at the first chapter, right? So I just give you this principle, because this is very important, because the Holy Spirit will speak to you, and he will give you instructions. If you don't understand instructions, you will miss the purpose. Okay? Because it says here in Proverbs, the first chapter, it said, to know wisdom and instructions, to perceive the words of understanding. Okay, God promised you something, right? Okay. Then the Holy Spirit will give you instructions how to get that. And he may not say, save the money, you know, and go put it down. He might tell you, stop praying. Stop worrying. Stop focusing on the church. Focus up. Keep your eye on me. I don't know what instructions the Holy Spirit will tell you. But whatever the instructions are going to tell you, you have to understand the instructions. And this is key. You got to stop listening. Listening Sunday, listening Bible study, listening prayer. You kind of keep consistent. Because
that's right.
Every time God promises you something, and then the enemy comes in to steal the hope.
Yes.
He wants to steal the hope. Because every season starts with a new idea. Once he gets an idea, change God's idea that plays inside you, he takes you to another place. Then now you start worried, I lost my job, my cousin left, money, all those things come in. You have to learn to stop the chatter and focus on the Holy Spirit. And that takes time. I taught that the other Sunday. When I was there, spread down the Holy Spirit, I was there almost 20 minutes trying to keep my mind shut up. All the chicken dinner, bill, credit card, the gas, what I got to do next week, all that just spent 1 minute in the Holy Spirit. And that 1 minute, I felt peace. It was just an introduction of what peace I could have. And once I got that peace, then I was able to use wisdom. He gave me instructions on what to do. And that's what I did. But if I not spend time trying to seek the Holy Spirit and get his instructions, I would have still been sitting there trying to figure out, what's going on. So it's more than just reading the scripture. Because so you can read the scripture, but if you don't believe the scripture or practice the scripture, then the word comes in. Because if not, you can feel like the scripture doesn't work.
That's right.
So,
just like Jesus in the wilderness, he was tempted in the wilderness because he had word inside of him. And he had and his, that word in his faith had to be tested. We will all be tested. And so feel like God has blessed you. He will bless you. You will be in the heart. Say, I will be in the heart. But I might have one. Why not one right before? Speak out to this. That's the universe of God. God knows that. Bring it back. She got to keep saying it.
Look, we got stuff. Yeah, you want to say something? I know. We got so much stuff here right now. Go ahead.
I got in a car accident back in 2020, okay? And I was driving to December. And I was being told left and right that I was going to get my car back. To find out by the beginning of January, I was going to be in the car. My car was full of water. I'm like, how am I going to afford the car? How am I going to make all these payments and whatnot, left and right? And then I was told I was going to get a lump sum of money. I was like, okay, just down payment on the car. That money that happened. Instead of getting $90,000 back, I got $820. How am I going to put a down payment on that? Okay? I sat and prayed
every day.
I just
got my permission. Yeah. I told you. And see, what happens is consistency.
Yes.
Consistency. And when we know we're doing the right thing, it's just a matter of time.
Every time we have to get a
going on in the room, and it just reminds me of like the worries and the stuff like that. But it, like what Pastor Bruce had said, if he can give you instructions, he'll give you instructions, but it's not going to be loud, and it's not always going to be loud. You know, sometimes it might be a whisper. So you have to learn to tune out all those other thoughts and worries so you can tune into what it is God is trying to tell you.
And that's so important. It taps into what we're about to read. And we don't have much time. I am so thankful for all the questions, all the comments, because that's what this is about. There's so many people out there in the audience right now that are having those same questions and need answers. And that's what this is about. This is an opportunity for us to share our thoughts and reflect on what the Word is saying. Because, like she said, we hear so many conflicting words, but ain't nothing like God's Word. And that's what we're dealing with, His Word, His truth. So here it talks about, in verse 8 to 21, and this is going to be the last verse we're going to cover. It talks about the power of words. The power of words. Can you read that, verses 8 to 21?
The wise in heart accepts command, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. Whoever walks integrity walks securely. Whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. Whoever makes miraculously causes grief, and a chattering fool comes to ruin. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers all wrong. Wisdom is found on the list of the discerning, but a rod is for a back of one who has discernment. The wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of the fools invites ruin. The wealth of the rich is their orphaned city, but poverty is the ruin of the poor. The wages of righteousness is life, but the earnings of the wicked are sin and death. Whoever heeds discipline shows the way of life, and whoever ignores correction leads to astray, others astray. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent fools their tongues. The tongue of the righteous is choose silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die from lack of sense.
And that goes back to what we were just talking about, spending time in the Word, spending time in the church, spending time in Bible study, surrounding yourself with the right type of people.
That's right.
That's going to speak positive. You know, I think, like I said earlier, how I thank God for my wife, because if I based off myself, I would have left ministry, and I would have missed God. You know, I was sharing with someone today that I'm doing something that I asked God for, but I never knew how I would be doing. And here I am now, here at Harvest, and I have an opportunity to speak to over 200 kids, speak into their lives, to show them something that I never had. Had I forfeited what God was telling me to do, I would have missed this opportunity. And how many of us are forfeiting what God is telling us what to do because of the baggage that we carry? And that's why it's so important for us to have wisdom and listen to God. You know, a lot of us are here now. We're not here because we had it all right. We figured it out. You know, we went through some trials and tribulations, and we're still going through some trials and tribulations. However, now we have an understanding of the relationship with God. Now we can hear the whispers in spite of the chatter that's going on around. You know, and we're able to distinguish what is good and righteous and what is not good for us. You know, and that's going to be so important for us moving forward in the world today, because we're going to have to be able to stand firm on God's truth, because there's going to be so much deception and so much distraction And it's going to be things that look like God, even sound like God. But if you don't know the word for yourself, you're going to take it for that, and it's not going to be true. It says, number one, key observation. And we're going to just cover those, and then we're going to close those five. Teachability and obedience. Wise people receive and obey instructions while fools talk without listening. We got to be willing to listen to instruction. Every single one of us, regardless of age, only know in part. There's still more God has for us. So we got to be willing to receive instruction and be obedient to what God is saying to us. Number two, it says, speech reflects character. Verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Number three, it says, righteous words brings life and healing, while wicked words bring harm and deceit. We see it in the world. A lot of things that's happened in our communities and even in our families is not that they're bad people, but they're missing something. Love. I can remember growing up, I never really received a hug. I can't even remember really getting. Honestly, I don't remember that. But when I went away, that was one of the only things that you would see is a hug. And when I was away in prison, and it was so valuable, because that was the way she could express how she felt for me. You know, through that hug. And so many kids right now are missing a hug. We're so busy in our own household with working everything and doing just life itself that we're missing those important things. I got a son who's 24 years old. To this day, he'll come into the room and kiss his mother and us goodnight. He'll give us a kiss goodnight. And that's so valuable. It just shows your kid for your love and appreciation. You know, and growing up, we didn't have that as roots, right? We didn't get that growing up. You know, and my wife is Puerto Rican, and the culture is different. You know, and sometimes we don't even realize some of the things that we miss. We miss those things. Here it says, the impact of hatred versus love. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. Love heals relationship while hatred causes division and conflict. Number four says, wisdom is marked by restraint. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lip is I'm always conscious now of what I say out of my mouth. As a young man, I didn't hold my tongue. I spoke how I felt and didn't care how it affected anybody. I got in a lot of fights. I got in a lot of trouble. But I've learned how to hold my tongue. Because see, sometimes we speak out of our feelings, and our feelings lie to us. Definitely when truth is being spoken to you, truth that you don't want to hear, we become defensive. And I've learned this in business management. They used to tell us all the time, when you're trying to correct somebody, come tell them what they're doing good, what they're doing right. Because if you don't, defenses go off right away. Right away, you know, and not just tell them what they're doing wrong, show them. Show them the correct way. You know, and that's so important as parents, as leaders, definitely as children of God. We have to be that example. They're going to need this more than ever going forward. Because there's going to be so much strife in the world. It says, love heals relationship while hatred causes division and conflict. Number four, God, wisdom, marks and strength. It says, talking too much leads to sin. Wise people speak carefully and thoughtfully. And number five, righteous speech nourishes. The lips of righteous feeds many, but fools die for lack of sense. Verses 21. Wise words build up and nourishes others, while foolishness leads to self-destruction. Family, we want to build people up. God called us to build people up. And each and every one of us have people in our lives that God has particularly given to you. Your assignment is to build them up. And if you don't do your part, you're going to be accountable for them. That was one thing I learned during my time away, that how my decision wasn't just affecting me. There were lives that was connected to me because I was out of position and not doing what I was supposed to do. Lives was being affected. And I only seen it on a micro scale, just on my brothers and sisters. I just seen that aspect. But I didn't realize how much more lives were connected to that. I'm here now speaking to you because I was more obedient to what God was saying to me. And that's the same thing for everybody out here and everybody out there. So I pray that as we continue in this book of Proverbs, that what we have here today, all the conversation, all the insight is so important because there's many out there who desire this and won't come in here, but they will be a part of your life. And if you do your part in speaking and being, not just speaking, but being who God has called you to be, we will see a difference.
Mm-hmm.
We will see a change. Not everybody gonna want it. Not everybody gonna want it. And like I said earlier, it's gonna happen to the ones that's closest to. And we got to be okay with it. We got to understand that it's not against them. It's a spirit. But we can't allow that spirit to pull you down, because if it pulls you down, it takes you out of position from affecting the other lives that's connected to one. Amen? Amen. Awesome, awesome. Listen, and family out there, as we say, this word, it doesn't cost a thing. It is free. God has given it to us freely, but ministry does cost. And if God has placed on your life to sow a seed, please sow a seed. The information is coming up on the screen. You can sow a seed. We're here on Wednesdays at 6:00. We're here on Sundays. We have veterans meetings. We have relationship talk with Pastor Bruce, dealing with life and relationships. Right now, he's dealing with, what's the name of the song? Last Day Survivors Guide. And he's been doing this for the last 6 months or so, maybe even more than that. He's going through the whole book, Last Days. We're in the last days. We don't know when that day is going to come, but we need to be ready before it's our time, not when. So being prepared in God's word and what he's telling us, because what's happening is shouldn't be a surprise to the children of God. It's in his word. So what we see, it shouldn't be a surprise. It's about us being prepared in how we respond to what's happening around us. Amen? So with that, I'm going to invite you out. This Friday, we're going to be having a celebration for 26 years of ministry for Faith Harvest Worship Center and Pastor Dr. Raymond B. Williams. We're going to be celebrating 26 years with a dinner here at 6:30. And then we're going to be celebrating on Sunday. We invite you out, those who been impacted by Dr. Williams and been a part of Faith Harvest, and those who just want to do more, because this we are about empowering and equipping the children of God to be who God has called them to be. That's been the mandate on his life, and he's passed it down to all the ministry leaders who become a part of Harvest. And our goal is to impart it into the people of God, because God has a purpose for your life. And with that, we hope to see you here on Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. Every day we're having something here at Harvest. Come be a part of it. God bless you. We love you. Have a good night. We didn't even finish. We just touched two scriptures, really a couple scriptures of this here.
Said he couldn't make it. And broccoli. I got the salmon. Fran gonna make that tomorrow.
Okay.
Got it. Okay, Justin, he might bring